entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Same way, 97.5 KFAR Radio. It's Problem Corner. Hi, my name is Melissa Burnett. I'm here running the board for David Pruse today, who is out handling his mayoral duties down in the States. Don't forget, we broadcast live 97.5 FM, 660 AM. We're also online, KFARradio.com. And today's show will be handed over to Jomo Stewart, who is with another local candidate for borough mayor. Jomo, how are you today?
I am well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. It's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too. And I'm enjoying this balmy weather.
Oh, this very balmy. You know, it said it was going to get warm, and then all of a sudden it went back down to 40 below, and I'm going, Mother Nature.
No, it got warm. It's like 20 degrees below zero.
Hey, that's, you know, heat wave. Baby, bust out the sandals. That's all I'm saying. So today's show, we've got an amazing guest in studio. Would you like to introduce?
If I may. So yes. And of course, right here at the top, thank you so much for running the board for us.
You're
again.
Welcome.
Really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun last week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you. And a lot less stressful than when I run the board. Today our guest is Miss Savannah Fletcher, our sitting assembly member. She's actually a newly elevated presiding officer of the assembly and actually has recently filed to run for the borough mayor position. And so, yes, I'll disclose to everyone. I've been thinking about this. In my position, I end up meeting a lot of public policymakers and public officials.
Yeah.
But meeting them and speaking to them is not the same as getting to know them.
Right.
I've now known Ms. Fletcher for some years, speaking to her across the dais. But this is the first time I actually get to sit down and really pick your brain and get to know you a little bit. So I think it's a great opportunity, and I hope the public benefits from that as well.
Yeah, thank you, Jomo. I'm looking forward to it. We haven't had the chance for a long, in-depth conversation, and sharing stories, knowing each other a bit better, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
I'm excited.
All right. So without further ado, Ms. Burnett, you'll let everybody know the dial-in numbers?
Yes, if you'd like to call in and ask any questions or anything like that, the number is 458-8255. 458 talk. Don't forget that 907 or you won't get through. Yeah, they changed that.
Lovely new protocol.
Gotta love it.
So, Miss Fletcher.
Yes.
So, again, I've known you since I think you really came to my consciousness in somewhere like the 2020-2021 time frame.
Yes. I was on the Planning Commission in 2020, so we might have crossed paths for something. And then I ran for office and was elected in 2021 for the Borough Assembly.
Okay. Now, you're not from Fairbanks originally.
No, I grew up on an island in Washington State, Whidbey Island, for those who are familiar with the Puget Sound.
Okay. So I'm not terribly familiar with the Puget Sound. So this would be Seattle area, further north, further south?
Seattle's the big town. That's over on the mainland. We're an hour and a half probably north of that. Think of it as a gateway to the San Juans, more or less, is where Whidbey Island is.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's almost like the Eastern Shore in Virginia. I'm from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we have the Eastern Shore on the other side of the Chesapeake Bay. It's part of the state. But, yeah, it's I'm a Hampton Roads boy myself.
Yeah, Hampton Roads boy. Mm-hmm.
So what brought you to Fairbanks, Alaska? Now, you're married, so you and your husband, and I do know your husband relative to agriculture. We have an agriculture project over at FEDC.
Yeah, my husband Clay Vanitas works in ag. We both used to be legal aid attorneys, but big success story, guys. I recruited him up to Fairbanks, so I was here as a single lady before I ever even met Clay. But you know, you got to bring more young folks to the community. So I'm trying to
raging against the exodus, are we?
Exactly, trying to shift that dynamic. You know,
is that like a raging against the machine kind of deal?
We'll talk about it a little bit during this conversation. It's going to come up. We've been having some population flow issues here in the state of Alaska.
Yes, mm-hmm. And just last night I was with Ms. Burnett at our school board assembly meeting and talking about some of those unanticipated impacts of the out-migration and the different demographics that are being more present now, we see with our growing senior population the impacts to our required local contribution, where we pay more in local property taxes for education as our enrollment declines, and those kinds of imbalances that historically weren't there. Like I said, I'd love to get into the nitty-gritty of things, and we can dive into that later, but I'm kind of digressing from what brought me to Fairbanks. So I'll take us back. I lived and worked in Juneau for a couple summers during law school. I was down at Stanford for law school and did not want to stay in California, as warm and moderate as the weather is. It's too big a place. I wanted a rural community. I wanted to feel like I know my neighbor. And Alaska's where you can do really important legal work, but still be in a tight-knit, smaller community and not a big city. So worked in Juneau, and then I actually got an opportunity to work for Justice Sue Carney on the Alaska Supreme Court, and that's what brought me to Fairbanks. And I think, like many people's stories, oh, I'll be here for a year, thought I'd go back down to Juneau. But then I move into my dry cabin, I get my sled dogs, I make amazing friends, and I'm sucked in. It's the best winters around, even when it's negative 40.
Okay. So what were you doing in Juneau?
In Juneau, so in between law school and the summer times, you work at different places. I worked at Alaska Legal Services. I worked at Earth Justice for a while. So, and I had a partner there. I studied for the bar exam. I actually hand wrote my bar exam at UAS in their library with four other folks. It was the most pleasant, peaceful law exam experience I think anyone could ask for. It was lovely.
I love UAS. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to go out there several times. When I first went down to Juneau myself as an intern from UAF, and so we had some classes out there at UAS. It was a beautiful campus at the time.
Still is. With that lake right there? Yeah, mm-hmm. You just can't beat it. It's nice.
Right on. And then up to Fairbanks.
Yes.
Okay. So what about time frame was that?
That was in 2018. I moved up to Fairbanks.
And was this summer when you first came up, or did you come up for winter?
Yeah, I drove up. So I finished law school, and I drove my car all the way up from California. And fortunately, that was in summertime. So that was an August road trip, which was a nice time to be doing that drive. I'm grateful it was not in the wintertime. That would have been a bit of a challenge. But yeah, you know, bad wildfires that summer in Canada, driving through. Still remember first crossing the border, camping near Tetlin, going to Togue, driving. Yeah, it was a wonderful way to welcome myself to the state permanently.
Okay. All right. But that would have been the end of summer.
Yes.
The end of summer. See, you're the real deal. Yeah, you're the real deal. I got up here, I moved up here in 95 for college. So I got here in August too. Got to catch that very tail end of summer just before the winter set in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and same thing. I thought it was going to be a brief adventure here in the far north, and it turned into a life choice.
I moved here in the middle of November. It was 30 below, and I got off the plane and never left. So, I mean, you know.
Okay, so it happens.
It does happen.
I usually encourage people to come in the summer. Get through the summer. Enjoy
the
summer.
I tried that with my brother. I set him up, got him a cabin, got him a summer job, and then he went back to our family farm in Washington, which I can't blame him, but I tried to recruit more family up here.
Oh, okay, so family farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my family has a blueberry farm down in Washington. Very different than the blueberries we pick here, but equally delicious.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And, all right, again, I know you. Again, I met your husband relative to the agriculture sector here in town. Mm-hmm. We've had discussions relative to agriculture and food security, and now I see where that comes from. Okay,
yes.
It's in your bones.
It is in my bones, yeah. Fishing off the beach for salmon back home in Washington, it really resonates seeing our declining salmon runs here, too, and just what's happened in Washington. We had fish wars between tribes and states there for years. Subsistence levels were dropping, and now you see a lot more farmed fish, and it's just a shame, and I hate to see Alaska going that way. So, yeah, I see a lot of similarities between some of the values and shared cultural practices.
Okay.
And on that note, we're going to go into our commercial break, and we will be right back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Did you miss your favorite local show on KFAR Radio? Just log on to our website, kfarradio.com, and click the Archives tab to find all past episodes of shows like Problem Corner, Health Talk, Fairbanks Foodies, Alaska Realty Today, Shooter's Corner, and the Compos Outdoor Show. Hours of entertaining, informative, local programs produced exclusively for KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Online at kfarradio.com. We are KFAR, the heartbeats of Alaska. KFAR weather.
Scattered flurries likely today, otherwise overcast skies. Highs level off around 21 below. West winds around 5 miles an hour. Tonight, 39 below. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 31 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back to Problem Corner. Melissa here in the studio with Jomo and Savannah Fletcher. Don't forget, if you have any questions you'd like to call in, that phone number, 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And don't forget that 907. Jomo, back to you.
All right. So we were leaping off from agriculture. Mm-hmm. But again, agriculture, law school, ended up here in Fairbanks. Yeah. You know, you did mention planning commission. Or was it planning board?
Planning commission.
Planning commission. Mm-hmm. So again, you came up, you're working a day job. Mm-hmm. You're an attorney.
Yeah.
So what made you want to step into public life?
It's a great question. So when I first started here, you know, I was working for the court system. When you're on that side of the legal advocacy space, you can't be that actively engaged in local politics and local issues. I coached volleyball at Monroe, so I volunteered at the Literacy Council. So I had ways of being engaged, but I wanted so much more. And so after that year of working with Justice Carney and realizing I'm a people person, I don't want to be, you know, cooped up there working on opinions with her. I want to be out in the community. It was just my chance to try and give back. I've always had that desire for service, to try and help solve problems. And as I'm sure you're aware, for some of our boards and commissions, people aren't banging down the door to serve their time because it is a big commitment. When you have a day job, when you have animals to take care of or kids, bills to pay, the last thing you think you want to do in the evening is spend 4 hours as a volunteer at a meeting talking about someone's conditional use permit. But it turns out I love that stuff, so it was lucky for me.
And it is important. Mm-hmm. It is important. So I mentioned just before we came on air, I was asked to be part of a leadership discussion over at one of the seminars this weekend. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the theme of my portion, which is get involved, you know, or get informed, stay informed, get involved, be involved. You know, government.
Definitely.
Top to bottom, our government it comes from us. It didn't just magically appear. It's mm-hmm. people top to bottom with people. And it functions best the more of us participate more fully.
I couldn't agree more. And that's why I love local government so much. I feel that most potently with our borough. I think the state and especially the federal government can feel so disconnected from our daily lives. And you try to talk to someone, you can never reach the actual person you voted for. And I love the borough because on Thursday nights, you and I have had many conversations, both in the breaks and between meetings, during public comment. You'd see people all the time at Fred Meyer that I ran into at a borough assembly meeting. And that's the kind of accountability that I really appreciate. And when folks have issues about our government, it is us. And we have a lot of power at that local level to take part and make that change. And so, yeah, I think it really is important. And the more you try to engage, I think it'll be a lot more accessible. And if you volunteer on a board or commission like I did, you start to see a lot more of how things operate, and it feels less mysterious.
It feels less mysterious. Mm-hmm. So how long were you on the Planning Commission?
I was on the Planning Commission for just over a year.
Okay.
And then I got elected, so I was not allowed to remain.
Well, unless you get appointed. Do they have...
So the city used to have folks who served on the Planning Commission, but we recently changed our Board of Adjustment powers. So the fact that either City Council or the Borough Assembly can hear those appeals from the Planning Commission, we can no longer sit on the Planning
Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I served for several years. I got roped in by former Mayor Whitaker mm-hmm. on the Platting Board. And that really was an incredible experience, just a very very educational experience working with the planning department and their personnel. Of course, with platting, it's more like lot lines and stuff. But it was very interesting.
Yeah, and especially when we're hitting on those tough subjects that everyone cares about. How do we get more housing in our community? How do we make it affordable? How do we make it higher quality? It starts with having a clean system for platting, as unsexy as it sounds. How are we going to appropriately take this great lot downtown that's an awkward size, subdivide it, and zone it appropriately as well with planning so that you can have greater density downtown when someone wants an apartment there that used to be a 2-acre lot with one home on it? So I think it's really important to understand those mechanisms. And I've talked to developers, my former landlord, Aaron Welterlin, about some of the ways we can better support our contractors and builders throughout that whole process. And I think a lot of that comes from my dad, who probably leans a bit farther in this attitude than I do, but doesn't love the government. He's like, let me do my great things in the private sector and help my community that way. And he always saw our local government is getting in the way. He wanted to build more affordable housing near our farm for some of the workforce coming there. And it just felt like a daunting process where you always had more paperwork and more delays. And so I really like to think about that with platting, for example. What can we automate in terms of the permits? What can people come and do over the counter and get results that day on? Because we need those tight turnarounds when we have such a short construction season.
Short construction season.
Yeah.
No, please go on.
Oh, no, I mean, I think that in general, we always need to think through those issues. A lot of things with our borough, and this is something I'm excited to kind of pick up from Mayor Ward, hopefully when I'm elected to serve as borough mayor, are some of those efficiencies. For example, our tax assessment collection system is still from the 1980s. And we have been trying to update it for a few years now. The contractor we had hired failed to deliver on their promise, and we're still working with this outdated system. And because of that, we can't implement some new updates and efficiencies that we'd really like to see. For example, I'm working with fellow assembly member Mindy O'Neill on C-PACER coming to the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And for those who don't know, that's to help commercial properties get low interest rate loans that the borough helps facilitate the collection of those payments. And that's the reliability that banks want to see. So they're going to give you that low interest rate loan on an energy efficiency for
energy efficiency
building upgrades.
Yes,
exactly. And so stuff like that, making it easier for our developers, our contractors, to make great improvements on the housing stock we have here. It starts both with efficiencies in that subdivision and the platting, and then to improve the buildings that we already have through these energy efficiency upgrades at low interest rate loans. And I think being able to do that efficiently requires updated technology, and also just understanding every single step in that system so that we can really target the places we can get the greatest gains with the least energy required.
All right. Mm-hmm. Anybody on the phone lines, Ms. Burnett?
We got nobody right now. I've been watching.
All right, we're doing good then.
Yeah, okay.
If you'd like to call in, you got questions, 458-8255, 458-TALK. Don't forget that 907.
Don't forget that 907.
They must just all agree with us, Jomo. So,
so people tend to like to call in towards the end, so don't let it get to yet.
But, yeah, I just want to focus a bit more on that housing piece, because I know in your work,
correct,
you also focus a lot on that need. It's been a big need of our military community, but also just folks living here. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. I think one piece for me, both in terms of improving our housing stock, but also what are we currently using our existing homes for? And I think we were talking about the aging population we have and that demographic where families, where the kids now have grown up, moved out, you might have a 4-bedroom house.
We have a call online. Oh, caller, you are on the air with Jomo and Savannah.
Hello.
Hello. There? Yes, you're live with Jomo and Savannah. You have a question?
Yes, sir. I do. My name is Mike. I live here in Fairbanks. So at the beginning of the program, I believe I heard you guys say that you've got declining enrollment in the Fairbanks schools. So how do you justify saying you need more money? What efforts has the school district made to decrease costs, and that would include laying off teachers if you have declining enrollment? And why does Ms. Fletcher feel it's necessary to go around the tax cap with this special election you're trying to push on people so you can get more money? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Okay.
We appreciate the question, so I'll take the first half if you don't mind.
I was going to say,
actually, if I may, can I jump
please,
in?
Please, Joe.
Well, I'm sorry, it's ladies first, but you all outnumber me. I just want to say that part of this is one of the drivers of this, unfortunately, is that we are having a bit of an out-migration. It's been pretty widely reported that for many years, actually, we've had negative migration across the state of Alaska.
11 years.
And it's becoming more and more acute over as the years go by. And unfortunately, the prime demographic that we're losing here in this community, even though it is been balanced, thank God, by some inflows relative to the military, is those younger, working-aged, family-creating demographic. The people that...
The young ones.
The young ones. People that get married and make babies that then grow up and go to worse schools.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And, yeah, so I did want to just put that out there.
Well, and then it's also, I mean, since COVID, the schools have seen a drop-off. You know, we have a lot of families that have gone into correspondence programs, and so the school district is actually working very hard to make our best homeschool correspondence program more competitive. We are matching the allotments of all districts now for all homeschool programs. Kids across homeschool programs are getting that $2,700 allotment. We've got the biggest facility in the whole state when it comes to correspondence programs that offer labs and gym and tutors and class time for those that need it. So we have really stepped up the bar on our best homeschool program. And when it comes to cuts, we cut over $400,000 of admin last year. We did cut some teachers. We cut services. We cut activities. We cut our curriculum. We've made so many cuts, and this year we're facing things even bigger. And while I understand that the question is always, well, how can you justify the needing more money? Well, the school district still has inflation costs. We still have operating costs to cover, and those costs are doubling while our enrollments are declining. And so we still have to make that up. And so this year we're facing the closure of schools. We're facing getting rid of our activities fund
altogether.
We've already closed
three of them.
Yeah. Yep, and we're looking at two more. We're looking at safeties. We're looking at contracting out our custodial, which I don't know if people understand this or not. You know, they say, well, those are just custodians. You can get them anywhere. Well, that's not true because our custodians are actually a part of the classroom at our schools. And so this will actually be a takeaway. You know, not only will we be laying off people that have benefits and are getting paid and have children at home, we'll be laying off that extension of the classroom that teachers also rely on. So there are a lot of things that are going down in our district that we are cutting. And again, another almost $400,000 in downtown cuts are on top of that. So we have nickel and dimed as far as we can nickel and dime, and now the big things are coming out. And we are trying our hardest to prevent those big things. And the reason that we ask for funding is so that maybe we can not have to close those schools and we can keep things at least status quo. That is what we would like to do, keep things status quo so nobody has to feel detrimental effects that, well, it come Monday, oh, come, what's today, the 30th? So 2 days from now, our budget will hit and you will see exactly what we are facing.
Yeah, and I just, Mike, I appreciate the question because I think you're going right through the front door on it, and that's the way we like to address these issues. And I think Melissa really covered the major cuts that the school district has taken to try and accommodate our limited budget. But you asked, if we have declining enrollment, how come we don't have enough funds? And that goes back to the state's funding formula for schools. As enrollment declines, they give us a reduced amount of money in terms of the per head base student allocation, which you've heard lots of discussion about.
The largest chunk, base student allocation.
Yeah,
the largest chunk attaches to students and their count.
And if that number is going down, so we're still, you know, quote unquote proportionate to our number of students, but the problem is the core funding amount for the base student allocation hasn't been updated in 7 years. And even when it was updated 7 years ago, it did not catch us up fully to inflation. So imagine if your salary is the same as 7 years ago, and we've seen my mortgage, you know, increase, costs of housing go up, energy costs go up, electricity go up. All those costs have grown. Construction for any remodels, the borough is the one funding all the school district's major upgrades to roofing, to other needs at their schools for heating, at Hutch. Those costs don't go away, and we're getting less per dollar in today's dollars for the students, for our needs. So that's one piece why there is a greater need for funding.
And on that note, well, I'm going to interrupt you right there. We got to take a quick break. So when we come back, we will answer the rest of these questions. So hang on right here. We got some Black Crows lined up. You know I put this one in there.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Biden administration considering their next steps after three American troops were killed, more injured in a drone strike in the Middle East. National Security Council Coordinator John Kirby talked about how the administration is going to take its time before deciding how to act.
We're going to respond, and we're going to do it. Really, in a way, in a time of our own choosing.
Some Republicans in Congress want the president to strike back. House Republican Conference Chair Lee Stefanik says President Biden needs to get tougher on Iran.
We know that American troops are at risk around the world because of Joe Biden's weak global leadership, that foreign adversaries like Iran fear no reprisal for taking American lives.
The Islamic resistance in Iraq is claiming responsibility for the attack. Iran denies any involvement. The White House says it will retaliate. President Biden is in Florida today for some fundraising. No word or whether or not he'll meet with Governor Ron DeSantis while he's there. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Even by Alaska standards, there's a lot of snow this winter. A new storm has dropped nearly 16 more inches of snow on Anchorage, bringing the seasonal total past 100 inches. It's the earliest Alaska's largest city has reached that mark, which has caused collapsed roofs, snow-filled streets, and shuttered schools. The previous earliest record for getting to 100 inches was February 3rd of 2012. That winter remains the snowiest on record with 134.5 inches. Anchorage is already in the record books with this year's snowfall at the eighth snowiest with a lot of time left this season. Now, even winter-savvy Anchorage residents are getting fed up with the snow-filled streets and sidewalks, constant shoveling, and 6 days of pandemic-era remote learning. It's already in the record books with this year's snowfall at the eighth snowiest with a lot of time left in the season. It's miserable, said Tamara Flores, an elementary school teacher, shoveling her driveway on Monday as the snow pile towered over her head. It's a pandemic of snow.
Online at KFAR660.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at Gapco. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Breathe easy and save money. Natural gas is not only cleaner for the environment, it's also more affordable. Delivered heating oil is about 45% more expensive than natural gas this winter. Bottom line, natural gas is a cheaper, more reliable, clean source of fuel. And switching to natural gas from wood or oil can help clean the air in Fairbanks and North Pole. A natural gas service line can cost as little as $350 for residents and $500 for businesses. To apply or view coverage maps and more, go to interiorgas.com.
So how's your memory? Can you remember this name? It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. It's pretty simple, but it's a name you want to be familiar with. You see, good plumbers who can get to your problem quickly and do a top quality job, fixing it all at a reasonable price. Well, let's simply say they're scarce. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical is quick to the problem, and they're quick to the solution. And when you have no heat, or you have a bad plumbing leak, your HVAC isn't working, or your pipes are frozen, you want your problem fixed. So who do you call? I told you to remember the name. It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Boilers and water heaters, snow melt systems, of course, drain cleaning. They also own Victory Drains. And you'd be surprised how much more. So look, you don't have to try to remember the phone number. Just remember the name and look it up from there. One more time now. Say it with me. Living Waters. Right, Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Okay, well done.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back to Problem Corner here on KFAR Radio. Melissa in studio with Jomo and Savannah. And we were in the middle of some education questions. Savannah, if you want to continue your thought. And we do have a call on the line. Caller, we will get to you in just a minute.
Yes. So just to kind of wrap up on Mike's question, I think long story short, it's naive to think that our costs haven't increased over the last 7 years, whether it's for energy, healthcare costs, you name it. But if we just flat fund folks like we've been doing for the base student allocation for the school district, they are going to feel this pinch. And we need to cover that cost because every thriving economy has a strong school system. That brings workers in. That brings families in. That's going to support our aging population. But the last piece, you just asked about the special election. I just want to clarify, this is a chance for the voters, again, to have the most democratic say in whether or not they want to contribute more to education. I've heard a lot of folks from the public say they want our schools to thrive, and this is your chance to weigh in on it. So I view the special election as a chance to work within our tax revenue cap and hear directly from the voters versus the assembly making that call.
And with that note, we are going to take another call. Caller, you are on the air with Jomo and Savannah. Thank you so much for hanging on.
Hi, I was just calling in. Thanks for the show, and thanks for taking questions. I'm a parent in the borough. My name is Erin, and I have young children getting ready to enter the school. And I just wanted to ask Savannah Fletcher, what's your stance on pornography being offered to children in the school system? And what are you going to do to protect children?
Yeah, thanks, Erin. I think that's a really fitting question. I actually have a toddler myself, and so prepping for school, I realized the thing we want most is to protect our kids. And fortunately, in working with our school district, working with our library commissions, I think there's this misconception that there is pornography in our classrooms, in our libraries, when really there isn't. I've been working on a case involving the Mat-Su School District and their attempts to review and ban books that they thought had pornography as well. And what they've actually found, if you look at their library review committee, they've been going through those 56 books they removed. All but maybe four of them, they've said, actually, these are totally fine to go back on the library shelves. And the other ones, things like The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, they said, you know, this is just some heavy stuff that is kind of traumatic. And maybe we don't want a child to be reading about that suffering at such a young age. But it actually wasn't because of any pornographic imagery or anything. So
more of an age-appropriate question.
Totally. What's the educational appropriateness of a book? And are we still serving the main goal of our school, which is improving literacy and educational growth, exploring new ideas and new cultures in school? And really, my stance is I trust our experts in the schools. I've spoken to many librarians, to many teachers, and the parents who volunteer in the classrooms, and I know they're committed to making sure every student thrives. I have yet to actually see anything that would worry me that's being presented to them.
So it looks like she may have accidentally dropped off, but I've got two more calls on the line, so phones are blowing up. Caller, you are on the air with Jomo and Savannah. Caller, are you there?
Mm-hmm. Is that for me?
Yes, that's you.
Hi, Kelly Nash here. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you, Kelly?
I am just great. And I wanted to correct you really quick, Savannah. It's a constitutional republic, not a democracy. And I also want to tell you that you are totally out of line when it comes to the books in the libraries, because I've been there, I've seen it, I've read them. The other thing, how much is this special election going to cost the taxpayers?
Great points. I just want to clarify, I'm not out of line. I've seen the books too, and that's why I love our Constitution. It respects our right to disagree on what we want to read and what ideas we want to expose ourselves to, and it's not our right to infringe that on one another. So, but to answer your question about the cost of the special election. Hey, Kelly, I'm going to answer your question.
Answer the question, or we're going to have to hang up, okay?
Thanks. But yeah, it's actually written right out there in the ordinance, so you can see it for yourself. Our clerk calculated it's about $125,000 to hold a special election. Just like when we do those special elections for road service areas or fire service areas that want to pay more to maintain their roads, you get the chance to weigh in, have an election for it. And fortunately, the clerk's department had that funding in our fund from this year, so it's not coming as any additional cost to our general fund balance.
And when you said...
Doesn't the borough have a whole bunch of leftover money from the COVID fund?
No, that's actually all about been spent down, and those American Rescue Plan Act funds, those are really a cabin in what they can be spent on. So a lot of that's actually going towards working on sewage and pipe infrastructure. We just approved that a week or two ago.
Your line about trusting the professionals, actually, Kev, if you don't mind, I have similar conversations actually relative to clerks' offices. We've had over the last several years, questions relative to the integrity of our elections and, those kinds of things. And I work with the clerks' offices regularly, and they are incredibly dedicated professionals.
Kelly, do you have another question?
No, I'm good. I've heard all I need to.
All right. Thanks for calling. We have another caller. Caller, you are on the air with Savannah and Jomo.
Well, good morning. I have an educational question with regard to the aspect of Eric Dominion and ranked choice voting. I believe the voting has been perverted, and the education, we're not getting a bang for their buck. We're getting all this naked communist perversion that you're promoting and forcing taxpayers here to go along under your banner of professionalism. Parents should get their schools out of their children out of the public school system throughout this great land and form their own and educate the students about their diminishing Section 288-190% provisions as well as their PFDs. Public education RICO group, they're educrats, and you're promoting foreign ideologies, which just further dilutes our liberties. I'd like to see you out of Alaska. Thank you.
So I have two kids. They've both gone through our public school system. And I guess I can only speak for myself. There's some things that I feel like are lacking, that I just remember from where, when I was in high school, you could take Latin and ancient Greek still. They had driver's ed baked in still. But generally speaking, I think my kids have gotten a really good education here in the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District.
Absolutely.
And nothing out of line.
Yeah, and it's folks' rights. We have charter schools, we have homeschool programs. If individuals wish to remove their kids from the main public school education system, that's your right. But I know so many families, myself included, my husband and I are both working. Once my son is older than 1.5, he'll need a place to go to school, and I don't have the capacity to stay home and educate him, so I'm really grateful that our constitution, our state constitution, protects our right to a free public education, and especially the services our school district provides. We don't have a lot of extra courses right now. I'm not sure which classes you're talking about, but we can hardly staff our Spanish class. I think some of those are being taught by teachers on Zoom because we don't really have a lot of excess. I toured Hutch, and that's a career tech school, and seeing their offerings, the wood shop, the auto mechanic class, those are awesome extras I'd hate to lose. And if that's what we're worried about in terms of extra courses, I think everyone should take a tour and see the amazing practical skills our students are learning. And the last thing I just want to say for our public schools and why it's so critical to have them, not only for families who can't have the means to teach their children at home, but also many of our kids with special needs. I think we need a wide range of professional staff, and that's something I've found that private schools can't afford to provide, and that's where our public schools really step up. It's critical.
And on that note, we have another caller. Caller, you are on the air with Jomo and Savannah. Caller, you there?
Hello.
Hi, yes, caller, that's you.
Oh, good. Hi. My name is Libby Dalton. I'm retired. I'm a lifelong member or resident of Fairbanks. And I'm very concerned. I just recently tuned in, and the guest was talking about the school districts and stuff. And I'm just very, very upset about the proposal to revoke the tax cap, raise the mill rate, and charge all property tax owners another $100 on each $100,000 value of their home. We just can't afford that. And why should the property tax, or why should the homeowners, the property owners, bear the burden of this deficit? it seems like it came out of nowhere, hard, fast decision, and the public didn't get a chance to input their feelings about this. And there's other ways to streamline education expenses to reduce their operating costs. $28 million is a lot of money, and putting it, the burden on property tax owners is not good.
Yeah, Libby, this is Savannah Fletcher. You email me a lot, actually, at the Borough Assembly, so I appreciate how engaged you are. I agree with you that it's really unfortunate that this burden is potentially falling on property taxpayers, because we have asked our state to step up, and for years they have not increased their funding for the base student allocation, and for years they've actually been forcing us to pay more and more through our required local contribution. And so that means when legislators are shifting that burden, it's becoming a property tax for us instead of the state taking out of their budget. So I agree with you. I think it's an imbalance, and I hear your concern about feeling like a chance to vote on additional funds is being thrust on you, but I just want to let you know, actually, it hasn't even been voted on. On February 15th is when you can come to the borough building and share your thoughts with us on whether or not we should even have a special election, and even then, you have the chance to vote on it. It won't be us making that decision. It's a vote of the people. And I think that is really a chance to be heard. And I just want to correct the record. I think some folks have jumped to conclusions. No one's challenging the tax revenue cap with this. This all works perfectly within the system of it. And it's just underscoring that protection. Unless the voters vote yes, the tax revenue cap with its current limitation stays in place.
Well, I'm not going to be in town February 15th.
Well, we have call-in and Zoom, too, and like I said, I read all your emails, so you can always write us as well. I do read all of those from everyone.
And they become part of the record.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't send in that many emails, but boy, I'm going to send in on this one, because I can tell you where the schools need to cut, and it's administration. They need to streamline some of those services. We know that the cost of administration has gone up 18% over the last few years, and teachers have decreased their expense 6%. It's heavily.
I will say, Libby, this is Melissa, administration costs are being cut. We cut $400,000 last year, and another $400,000 is proposed as of right now, and that will increase, because the board has already said we have no interest in laying off more teachers. We have no interest in having our kids pay the penalties of our budget, though things will get bad this year. But we are cutting admin costs, so I just want that to be clear out there, that we are cutting admin downtown. That is happening.
Good.
So thank you. Libby, we do have to go to break, so thank you for your call. If you'd like to call back, we'll be back after these messages, okay?
Thank you for working so hard for our schools.
Oh, absolutely, thank you, Libby. Thank you for your call. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. Caller, please hold the line.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Tune in to Shooter's Corner, your source for news and conversation regarding guns, local events, and your Second Amendment rights, with your host, Laura Berkowitz. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design, an Alaskan company offering products that help you get the most out of your car or truck. Moose lights, auto starts, bug shields, spray-on bed liners, signs, graphics, and more. Visit Auto Trim Design and listen in every Thursday morning at 11 to Shooter's Corner. right here on KFAR Radio.
KFAR Weather.
Scattered flurries likely this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 21 below. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 39 below. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 31 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back to Problem Corner. We are streaming live, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, also online, KFARradio.com. If you'd like to call in, you have some questions, 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. Don't forget that 907. We're in studio with Savannah and Jomo. And Savannah, we have had a caller on hold for a minute now. So we're going to take this call real quick. Caller. Oh, looks like they are gone. So there we go. We have an empty bank right now. So Jomo, Savannah, take it
well,
back
if
over.
Okay. Well, we've been drumming pretty hard on education here the last few minutes. But I would want to give you the opportunity. Again, part of the reason why I invited you here for this interview was that you are the new presiding officer. And I'm not sure exactly how long those 10 years work, but I just wanted to ask if there were any special initiatives or things you'd like to work on as you have that position, you know, that leadership gavel. And then, of course, as mayor, you know, are there any special initiatives you'd like to be working on so that folks like FEDC and other folks could get on board with and maybe help out with?
Yeah, no, thanks for that question, Jomo. First, for presiding officer, so we elect a new presiding officer to lead the body every year. So I'll be in this position for a full year until this upcoming election finishes. And one of my biggest goals in that position is to just improve the cohesiveness and the teamwork of both the assembly and how we work with staff. It's really rewarding in that position to get to play a role in making sure we have a positive environment. I think for a while it was very tense on the assembly and staff would maybe dread coming to give reports, and it just doesn't create an environment where we can get all the answers we need and really think of creative solutions and want to be there and have people want to work together. So I played sports in college. I was a D1 volleyball player. Teamwork and having that kind of leadership ethos means a lot to me, and it's a chance to practice that. So it's been really fun. I know folks say people fall on different lines on the assembly, but it's been refreshing. We all laughed together. Last night, there were many a funny moment with Levity laughing at Mayor Ward, who's distracted in a minute here or there. But that's something I really try to bring and why I'm excited to run for mayor, because that position, unlike an assembly role, a legislative role where you're drafting ordinances, the biggest thing you do there is be a team leader. You need staff to have faith in you that you're going to be there to back them up, that you're going to get stuff done, be true to your word. And I'm really eager to step up in that way.
Well, and it looks like you are a very popular lady. We have another caller on the air. Caller, you were on the air with Jomo and Savannah.
Hi, Jomo and Savannah. This is Mark in care of the Alaska Freedom Council. I'm for keeping the tax cap tightly affixed and encourage everyone to do the same. The public school systems have betrayed Alaskans with regard to our history and heritage, our resources, and the educational system in Alaska is a farce, and it deserves a big F. And the public school systems need to hand back over the education to the parents and stop robbing the little that Alaskans are able to keep in this tug of war for our freedoms and our liberties and resources and heritage. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. We have another caller. Caller, you were on the air with Jomo and Savannah.
Yeah, this me?
That's you.
Okay, yeah, this Bill out here, Two Rivers. I sit in on a lot of the assembly meetings and stuff. And I see a while back when they brought the new assembly in that Savannah and the whole bunch, seven of out of the nine of them voted for a training program that Brett Roderman had brought up that people really didn't want. The emails were overwhelming that people didn't want this, and I was one of the emails that sent in that didn't want it. Yet the assembly went against the people at that time, and they have out here the Two Rivers program went against the majority of the people. And they're also, I see that Savannah is sent an email out a while back to a friend of mine where it basically taking property exemptions away or in favor of. I know it's on a state level, but anyhow, what I'm wondering, if she becomes mayor, will she represent the people or will she continue to do like you have done in the past and just vote very liberal all the way through. Anyhow, I'm hanging up now. Bye.
Thanks, Bill, for the question. I'm not sure I was tracking all the instances you were referencing, but I just want to make the record clear. I think one thing you're discussing is my recent vote to allow the people of Two Rivers, if they wish, to voluntarily subscribe to a fire service. And I view that as the same thing Salcha was fighting for years ago, and really what we heard Two Rivers Strong asking for 2 years ago from us, before the government got involved, and really when we made things so tense within that community. And I sympathize. And that's why I wanted us to get out of the picture. I think when we have nonprofits willing to step up, whether it's a nonprofit wanting to lease Newby Park and help bring that back to life for the community, or if it's a nonprofit that wants to give fire service and a fire department provision a go when we're not providing that service to people, I don't think we should stand in the way of it. And my approach as mayor will be to work creatively with all folks. I'm working with the people who are worried about their nonprofit tax exemptions to try and find creative solutions that work within our state laws and constitution. And I'm always going to be thinking creatively to fit the needs of every single part of our borough. I think there's a wide range of views in our community, and I love that. And you have to be on your toes and really, like you said, go to each community and hear from them directly. I intend to keep doing that.
So relative to the way I've seen you operate on the assembly, yeah, I mean, my experience, particularly over the course of the last year or two, is frankly, you were a bit of a swing vote. You were constantly trying to find that workable compromise between what were, in fact, fairly, could be fairly divergent wings mm-hmm. on the assembly. I can remember multiple instances of you having listened to both sides, making that amendment request that mm-hmm. took, accommodated the views of one side, but also tried to accommodate the views of the other side to find, again, that compromise in the middle. While we have a couple of minutes, I mean, this might be that moment for you to be able to tell people, where they can find you on, say, social media, learn about your position and the way you like to do business.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jomo. I do really appreciate the nod to working across the aisle, if there even is an aisle. I think it's so important that local politics are nonpartisan, and I know many folks listening know one of my opponents, I probably shouldn't even give him airtime, bad campaign tactic, but Aaron Lajeski and I always worked really well as partners on the assembly, and I think we both have that desire to have our local government be a nonpartisan place of partnership where you find solutions to problems. You don't hunker down with some political affiliation. But where you can find more about me, SavannahForMayor.com. It's very simple. I have my Instagram handle, SavannahForMayor, and you can find me on Facebook, Savannah Fletcher for Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor. I make a lot of videos. I talk about school education, so if people have more questions, please find me there. I'm always happy to answer calls and emails, too.
Okay. All right. Ms. Burnett?
We got 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
We got 2 minutes.
Well, again, we have flogged the daylights out of education, but that's fine. Again, it's a very important issue, mm-hmm. As is our ability as citizens to help fund the things we want. And it is a burden, but it's a burden with benefits. I mean, again, this is how we fund the services that are provided to us, ourselves, and our community. So I would just offer you the chance, if there's any other things, as far as big initiatives you'd like to talk about. I think one of the crowning achievements of the Ward administration has been the KIP, mm-hmm. the Capital Improvement Plan. The fact that we systematize that, that it is transparent, that it has a mechanism for the voters to weigh in relative to the prioritization of this list. I think it is one of the crowning achievements of his administration. Are there any things along those lines? Again, you mentioned, stronger relationships between administration and the staff, stronger relationships between the assembly and staff. Mm-hmm. But are there any other big initiatives you'd like to maybe take a bite out
of? You got a minute.
Got a minute. Oh, man. Well, I think there are a lot of things that are easy to say in the abstract. Let's get more affordable housing. Let's make energy more affordable. Let's find childcare options for young families. Let's provide resources for our aging population so folks can stay in these close-knit communities, age in place, but still feel supported here. And I think you can toss around those words. Let's make our roads drivable. I worked on our Assembly Road Service Area Committee for a couple years, and really, at the end of the day, what I want to emphasize to folks is I'm not here to speak in platitudes about those issues. I'm here to get into the nitty-gritty. I've helped fund our road service maintenance and capital projects for our road service areas, an additional $500,000 over the past year, and I'm working hard at the state to get more. So if you have a problem, I'll be there to solve it for you.
Well, that wraps up our show today. Jomo, thank you so much for being here. And Savannah, thank you for answering all the questions and taking one. And just, you know, that was very awesome. You did very well. And we look forward to seeing you on the campaign trail. Jomo, I'm pretty sure we'll see you back in studio. Not sure when Cruz will be back. But until then, we will keep you guys entertained with a little Steve Winwood.
Have a good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you.
News and conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks.